So this morning, as we do many times, you got a bulletin insert that has a number of different scripture passages, and we're going to be just reading one now and referring to several throughout the message. And let's just take a look at, we're going to be taking a look at the second one for now, and feel free to go through and read, you know, read through these as I'm talking. It's from Matthew, the one from Matthew 16, 3. And this is Jesus speaking, and he says, "You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times." And we'll understand this more, but may God bless our hearing and understanding of this word of abundant life. So since we didn't have a children's sermon this morning, this is children's sermon time for all of you, where you can stay in your seats. But a couple of questions, and that is, you know, and there's a hint, if you look at the scripture passages that we have, who can tell me what special thing happened on Wednesday of last week?
Lunar eclipse.
Yeah. Lunar eclipse, and in its full name, it was the...
Blood moon.
The blood moon and the and an eclipse and a blue moon. So it was the super blue blood moon, right? All three things combined. And can anybody tell me the last time that this occurred? All those three things. That's it. I think I'm hearing it. So all this at the same time, it last occurred in 1866. So just a year after the Civil War ended. 10 years before this building was built was the last time that that happened. So it's a very rare event, you know. And out of curiosity, how many of you saw it? A number of you saw it, right? And how many of you knew about it? How about that? All right, so pretty much everybody knew about it. Did any of you travel, you know, even like walking, you know, to some place or driving or whatever, just so you could see it better? Any hands? So, you know, a few of you. I see Debbie Eck up there who traveled to Washington, D.C., right? Did you go all the way there?
Yeah.
Right? So started in Southport, goes all the way to D.C. and photographs it again. And which is really cool, you know, but you do something, you know, maybe you do something like this that will happen once in a lifetime. Right? You go out of your way. You know, rare astronomical events. So I'm thinking about rare astronomical events. Blood moon, eclipses, you know, planets aligning and so forth. And you can see references to these either in prophecy or, you know, in times that actually happened in the scripture passages that I listed in your insert. I just went through the Bible and I went looking for these things. And these, you know, would be, there are some astronomical events that are of, literally of biblical notoriety. We know because they're in the Bible. And as human beings, it's a really interesting thing, as we've noticed, is that for as sophisticated as we are, we get moved by these things. Somehow we get moved by them. We're drawn by them. We're compelled, you know, to them. And we've been, you know, compelled by these things really since the beginning of time. And it happened then, and as we experienced last week, it happens now. For as sophisticated as we are, right? So now we know exactly what's happening to the point where I was looking at, you know, and I'm sure many of you were, right? Looking at some of the events of last Wednesday from satellite, from space, right? And seeing, you know, seeing how it happened, and we know the trajectories and all that. And, but, it, you know, but oddly though, it's still big news, isn't it? For some reason, there's something within us, it's big news. And it fascinates us, so it somehow speaks to some primal part of ourselves. I think we're somehow we recognize that we are connected, right? And you know, thinking about that, was it last summer that was the eclipse where just huge masses of people traveled, and there were some like towns, remember that? That were just overrun because they couldn't handle how many people. So that's today. So that being the case, you know, you can imagine then when you go back in time, At a time, you know, before, let's say, light pollution, have you ever been out, in the ocean maybe, or you're in some rural area where there's no light pollution, and do you see the stars differently, right? I mean, they just pop. So think about back then when the stars just popped. And not only that, but they didn't have all the distractions, and they were using it, that was their GPS, right? So they had to, you know, they were paying attention to all these things very, very closely. And one of the most famous of these, of course, you know, since it's so close to Christmas, and in conjunction with last Wednesday too, so we think about the most famous of these, which is the star, let's say the star over, you know, in the Magi and seeing the star. Whatever that may have been. So I was thinking about these things, and since it's so timely, you know, we'd spend a few moments and just to start, you know, thinking about the star watchers. Who are the star watchers? And what maybe were they seeing up in the sky, if anything? Do we know anything about this stuff? Was there something that was whipping up all sorts of attention? So we start with the people. And that is that we know that, you know, now there are people, you know, professionally, they dedicate their lives to looking at the stars and understanding what's going on. People back then, that was their profession also. And as we know, they were called, still children's sermon time, so Magi, right? So they're called Magi. So, you know, and we see them, you know, in the church pageant and all that, and, you know, and were they kings? Were they, you know, people with turbans? Who were they? What were they about? And the interesting thing is there's a couple interesting things. One is that Magi are the ones from whom we get a word that is so close it's only one letter off from Magi. What? Magic. Magic. And magic means one having power. It doesn't mean, you know, can you make flowers appear in your hand? Magic is one having power. But then you go, well, why did they call them Magi? And they called them Magi because of the place called Medes, M-E-D-E-S. And Medes is a place in the Persian Empire, specifically that is now, we'll continue with the questions here, Medes is Iran. So Medes is Iran, and specifically in Iran, they're from the Median tribe, and the Magi were from Raga, which is now Tehran. So, for one thing, if you want to think about what do the wise men look like, well, think about Iranians, because very little has changed. And then you take a look at another scripture passage from Isaiah 13, and you see that the Medes were referred to back then in a different way too, as being cruel and so forth. So it's interesting that these people who are kind of known to be cruel are now looking for a baby in adoration, right? And then here's an odd thing, which is that we're living in a very rare time in history where previous to now, there were so many things like the Magi that we didn't know, you know, we knew about in stories through history and everything, but we didn't know anything archaeologically about the Magi until the 1960s when archaeological stuff was found. So you think about all that time in history where now we know things that they didn't, you know, they didn't know in the 1920s, they didn't know in the 1800s, 1700s, 1200s, 900s, you know. So we're actually closer to these events in that way than anybody in time has ever been, right? And that happened during many of our lifetimes, right? So we know that they were, through this information, we know that there were Zoroastrian priests, and they were teachers, they were instructors to the kings, so they weren't kings themselves. They were renowned for their wisdom, their skill in philosophy, medicine, astrology, so they had power. In a sense, they had magic in that way. And as it was true in those days, as it is true with people today, you know, people back then and now, you know, some people believe that you know, a person's destiny might be influenced in some way by the star under which they were born, right? I'm really tempted. I don't know how many of you would raise your hands, but I'll say this. How many of you have ever read your astrology, you know? Oh my God, I'm completely shocked. Why did you do that? So let's talk, you know, talk about now astrological phenomenon, right? And Jesus. So Jesus was born, which may seem weird. A lot of people know this, but he was born in 4 BC. But it wasn't 4 BC then. The whole AD and BC thing didn't happen until the 9th century, right? So they got it off, you know, going back, they got it off by 4 years. So, you know, he was born in 4 BC. And around that time, in 4 BC, there was this flurry of just wild, kind of unusual phenomenon in the skies, right? And we can tell now, the cool thing is, think about the 1960s, even more recent than that with computers and computer models. Now, as opposed to any other time in history, just us, just those people, just the people who are living now, now with computer models, we know what was happening in the skies back then very precisely, which is so cool. And first, so a couple things that were happening. Just to set the stage, in 11 BC, something happens. Halley's Comet. You know Halley's Comet. Have any of us seen Halley's Comet? We were around for them. So the last time it showed up was in 1986. It shows up every 75, 76 years. It's an elliptical pattern. So back then, nobody alive would have ever seen Halley's Comet before. So what do you think they're thinking when they see this thing that occurs for, the Chinese actually noted it in 11 BC, followed it for 2 months. It's recorded in history. So 2 months, there's this thing that just shows up, this wild light in the sky, you know, with a tail. So that, you know, obviously, you know, they would have been thinking about that. What's going on here? And then it goes away. And now the next time it's going to show up is going to be 2061. So some of us may be alive. I'm going to be 103. So I don't know. In 7 BC, there was something else that happened. So you move forward 4 years, 3 years before Jesus is born. Brilliant conjunction of the planets of Saturn and Jupiter. They create the appearance of a new star in the sky, a brilliant light. And the particular conjunction that occurred in 7 BC won't occur again until 7,541. I know I'm not going to be around for that. But the cool thing is that it happened then. Didn't happen 1,000 years beforehand, but it happened then. So then in 3 BC, and this is right after Jesus is born, right? After Jesus is born. And you go, ah, well, we know that the star appeared when Jesus was born, right? So if it happened after, maybe not so credible. I don't know. But this most rare conjunction of Venus and Jupiter created an appearance of a double star. And of additional curiosity, Jupiter is called the king planet, and Romans named the planet Jupiter. Why? Because who was Jupiter? It was their king of gods. And its motion in 3 BC made a halo over Regulus. And Regulus is known as the king star. And that occurred in the constellation of Leo, which is known as the King Constellation. might be a message if it happened, you know, after Jesus was born. Then you go back to the scriptures and you read that scripture again, and you might read it a little differently. So let's read it now after hearing this. It doesn't say when Jesus was born, and we know that the Magi came after he was born. They say they visited him in a house, not in the manger. It was afterwards. After Jesus was born, which means not in 4 BC, probably, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where's the one who's been born King of the Jews?" So they're looking to find him. So it doesn't say that it appeared over a home or over a manger, but they, you know, they're looking. We'll hear later, why were they looking there? And a star, and they said, "We saw a star when it rose." Not when it appeared and, you know, just kind of blinked on in the sky. So when it rose, what's that about? Another thing we know, interestingly, is that between the years of 5 and 2 BC, so for 3 years, there was another unusual phenomenon where on the first day of the Egyptian month that's called Missori, the megastar Sirius, which is 25 times bright as our sun, it shines with amazing brilliance. It would, for three months during Missori, for 3 years, or for on the first day of 1 month, Missori, for 3 years in a row, Sirius rose in the sky, incredibly bright. And Sirius, coincidentally, or Missori, the name of that month during which it rose, think about the words from Scripture, means birth of a prince. So that's kind of weird. So we saw his star when it rose. So it's interesting. You know, we've got astrological phenomenon. We've got all this stuff that's happening in a very compact time period. And so you can see how astrologers, you can see how just regular people are looking up there and they're going, I don't know, is something going on here? Is there something that I should be paying attention to? And again, then what's happening in history? Is there anything recorded in history? So in history and politics, so there's a Roman historian named Suetonius, and he wrote, quote, "There had spread all over the Orient an old and established belief that it was fated that at that time for men coming from Judea to rule the world." Maybe that's why they were looking there. And second, Tacitus, who was another secular Roman historian, wrote, quote, "There was a firm persuasion that at this very time the East was to grow powerful, and rulers coming from Judea were to acquire universal empire." And then third, there's a historian that we know, Jewish historian, very famous, and he worked with a government named Josephus, lived at the time of Jesus, and he wrote, you know, "The Jews had the belief that," and this is a quote, "about that time one from their country should be governor of the habitable earth." So we have the Magi, we have the time in history that's ripe with expectation, we have astrological phenomenon, possible signs that something is going on. So signs, you know, signs are just things that happen. It's just stuff. It's you can almost describe them in physics, right? Anything can be a sign. And then there's the interpretation of the signs. And that's what Jesus is talking about. So there's stuff that happens in life, and then you go, does that have any meaning? And as we know, some people back then, they're looking at this, and they say, you know, I think that there's hope and change. Other people who are looking at this are saying, this is a threat, and this is dangerous. Certainly people who are in power, depending on who you were. But then we shift gears and we recognize that the truth is that most people back then, as happens today, most people really just shrugged it off. Right? For as cool as all this stuff sounds, Most people just shrugged it off. Most people today shrug a lot of things off. And you look back and you go, well, I don't know, who was the wiser? Did it pay to maybe be paying attention to some things? Who was the wiser? Is there value or do you shrug it off, you know? Some people look at ice caps melting and they go, I think we should pay attention to this. Glacier National Park disappearing. You go, Weather patterns changing wildly like they never have before. The hottest year on record. The hottest year on record again. The hottest year even hotter than the previous one again. Is there something to pay attention to? No, I don't think so. It doesn't affect my dinner, you know. So there's signs and there's interpreting, placing value and meaning on things. Now, placing value and meaning on signs, that's entirely up to you. That's yours. That's yours. No one can tell you that something's meaningful. You have to get that. Or not. Totally up to you. What's important to one person, another one just falls flat. So we took our kids to the Grand Canyon, I don't know, I'm going to guess like 15 years ago or something, 15, 18 years ago. And I remember, and I shared the story shortly after that, is that when we were going, you know, we were all excited. And I remember running vividly running into some guy, and he goes, don't bother, it's just a hole in the ground. Literally said that. I'm like, what? So what's the Grand Canyon to some is literally a hole in the ground to somebody else. That's meaning, right? So we're free to go about our lives, and we're free to say, hey, look, nothing's meaningful to me. I'm not going to be awe-inspired. It's not going to touch my soul. I don't even have a soul. You don't have a soul. People say that. You know, and what I've noticed, and I bet you've noticed this too, is that people who tend to say things like that are really proud. They're really proud of being smarter than everybody else and knowing that you can't tell them that something has meaning. You can't tell them that they have a soul, right? They're so wise and so proud and so smart that nothing to them is reverent. You know, it's just all physical. There's nothing awe-inspiring. I have no right, I realize, you know, we have no spiritual right to take that away from them. To force someone into a sense of the holy. If they want to believe that they have no soul, that's their right. And that's a matter of interpretation. And you know you've had these conversations. So all this makes me think about current day phenomena that's going around us, and how might we be interpreting some things that are going on? What are the things that we're looking at? What are those things that give us some hints and some signs that we might want to pay attention? Moral climate? The trajectory of that? Ethical climate? The trajectory of that? Climate change. Are we seeking the truth? Or are we committed to something else? Committed to power? Committed to our previous posture? Are we committed to the truth or are we more committed to winning than to the truth itself? What are we teaching our children? How about that? What are we educating them through school and through the culture? What are we pointing out to them to say, look for these signs. What are the valuable signs? What star do you want to be under? What are the signs of a good life? Is it success? Is it achievement? Is it happiness? Is it winning? Is it an inner sense of well-being? Are we saying to them, you know what, the most important thing is your inner sense of well-being? Even more important than the exterior signs of achievement. Is it making a difference? Helping others? Or is it scoring the highest? And we think about this. What are the valued signs of our times? Stock market. Unemployment rates. To some, that's the most important thing. Weather patterns, politics, who has power. There are always signs. There are always, always signs to be interpreted. And here's a question. Like the Magi who had power, as did the politicians of their day, who is doing the interpreting for you? Who are the wise men or women in your life? Who do we believe? Because there's a lot of people saying, this is most important. No, this is the most important. To whom are we ascribing that power with our culture? Who are the interpreters of the stars? There are a lot of people out there sharing their opinion. And as we know, there are a lot of stars. Right? But are they wise? Who are the stars that lead us? Are they business leaders? Are they political leaders? Are they people who write blogs? I was talking to a young woman last week who said, you know, I was reading a blog about saying, you know, this is what you should try to avoid pregnancy. Somebody who's sexually active, I'm like, are you really taking your advice that can change your life forever based on someone who's writing a blog? Oh. How about people who we actually call stars? Actors, singers, sports stars, reality TV stars. Who has the genuine wisdom? Or who just has charisma and leadership? Remember General Custer, right? He had great leadership and strong leadership, and he had a lot of charisma. But was he wise? He was until some point. As Christ said, he said, you know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. So for all the interesting stuff about the stars, he's saying, how about the signs of the times? Moral decay, lack of commitment to honesty, along with what else is going on? Epidemic levels of depression. What else is going on? Record rates of teen suicide. What else is going on? How about opioid, you know, epidemic that's just raging? What's going on with that? Very high commitment to sports and entertainment. People invest so much time, money, paired with all-time lows nationally in church attendance. Not here, but nationally. What are the signs of the times worth attending to and what's directing your lives? So here's the question, what is your star? Something to think about today. What is one thing that rises above all others in your life that when you think about it, your soul and God would have you notice and would have you pay attention to? And this might require some thinking, but maybe even more some praying. One thing in your life that would result for you in the most impactful difference in your life that could change the trajectory. Where would you look at your life and you go, at the end of it, you look back and you go, yeah, you know what? Boom, I did that. I did that. I may not have done many other things, but at least by God, I did that. That's your star. And if you don't know, you can pray, which you should. God, what's my star? What's my star? What's that one thing? Family, health, soul, world, creating educational systems. Like the wise men, when you notice that star, by God, follow it, pursue it, and may nothing deter you from it. Amen. Loving God, of all the seasons of our lives, those seasons that sometimes change as erratically as the seasons that are around us, when things in our life go from warm to cold, or cloudy to sunny, or stormy to beautiful, so it is that we come to you from yet another week, like all weeks, that give us some changes and surprises, and some that are welcome and others that we would have rather avoided. Some of us may have received information that changed or even rocked our world. And for others, maybe for the few, it was just another week. So God, we come from a week of accomplishment and having checked off important items and projects, decisions that have been made, people who we've contacted, children that we've loved and attended to, maybe grandchildren. And perhaps this week, as it is with some weeks, God, we worked hard and we put in all the effort, but then we go back and we try to think on what we did and we just can't come up for the life of us what it was. So we come here with all these things, with so many states of being, hopes, dreams, struggles, successes, deep concerns, relief. And we say, here I am, Lord. That whatever I may have done or left undone, what I did well, what I regret, I realize that with all that, I need you even more than whatever I might be facing in my life. Because without you, without being in touch with my very soul, my life is nothing more than moving parts without a greater purpose. So God, as we offer you our lives this morning, we lift up all of this and we create a space to invite you in. So that your spirit and purpose might renew not only who we are, but why we're here. So help us, God, to ask, how might we serve? So that at the end of the day or week, we might at least be able to say, God, I know I served you by serving my family. God, I served you by providing a means of livelihood for those who I love, maybe for my employees. I served you, God, by living as an example to others, including as an example to myself. And with all that, God, now we're called to rest and refreshment and renewal as we pray for those we love and pray for the world, all of which needs our love and your love, our action and your action. And we thank you, God, for your peace of mind and heart and soul that comes from serving you in this way. And as we begin a new week, may we take you with us in all we do. As yours in service, this we pray. Amen.